the line that I notice in that song is, come what will, come what may, I choose to trust in Jesus' name. Trusting him involves a choice on our part. It doesn't come automatically. And it's going to be a great day today, and we're excited. Appreciate Pastor Scott Toole coming down from Rosedale Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm just curious, how many of you have been to a January Jumpstart before you've heard Pastor Scott Toole preach? How many of you have ever heard? All right. How many of you have never heard? This should be everybody else. How many have never heard Pastor Scott Toole preach? Okay. All right. Good. And so Pastor Scott Toole is one of our dearest friends here at Crossroads, and I'm so thankful that he and Miss Charlene have taken time out of their schedule to come and be a blessing to us. And Brother Scott, come preach what the Lord has given you for us. Can we make him welcome this morning?
Good morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 2, if you will. Revelation chapter 2. And I'll try it again now that I'm on. Good morning. Okay, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to say it and then you say it back. You ready? Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to be at my home away from home. I appreciate you making me feel welcome. And we're going to be talking about three different churches. One this morning is going to be the church at Smyrna. It's Revelation chapter number 2. And then after the church at Smyrna, we're going to talk about another church tonight and then one on Monday night. And I hope you're able to make it back for all three of those. But let's jump into Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in, there it is, Smyrna, right? These things saith the first and the last, which was dead. But take note of that, which was dead. In all seven of these churches, he gives a partial glimpse of himself, the part of him that they especially need, which was dead and is alive. 9, I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death. I was dead, and am now alive. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the, and there's that word death again, I was dead and I'm alive. Be faithful unto death, and to him that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Keep in mind, as we focus in on one of the seven churches of Revelation, keep in mind this small memo, it's 4 verses long, this small note is to that church specifically. To that church specifically, you can flip around if you want to in Revelation 2:1 under the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? And then 2:8 under the angel of the church in Smyrna, all seven of them. And then in 12, the angel of the church in Pergamos, 2:18 under the angel of the church in Thyatira, 3:1 under the angel of the church in Sardis, in Philadelphia, and of the Laodiceans. And we're at best the third audience. Jesus gave this to John. And John is giving this to the church at Smyrna, and now at the church that's at Crossroads, preached by the pastor of the church of Rosedale, we're going to be looking at. But keep in mind also, it's written to that church specifically, but also it's given to all churches generally. We can learn from it. It's not written to us, but it is written for us. It's not written to us, but it is written for us. It's like reading someone, stumbling upon someone's love letter that's written to someone else. It didn't have your name on it, and you probably shouldn't be reading it. But you can learn a whole lot about the heart of that person that wrote that. And so similar to this, it's written to them, but it's also understood it's for us, to all churches generally. You saw in verse number 11, and it says it to all seven churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. 7 times to the 7 churches. It's not just to them specifically. It's also to all churches generally. But before you disconnect, understand It's also to each and every one of us personally. Are you following this so far? Yes, to them, to that church specifically. The church at Smyrna, they had some unique situations, but those unique situations, every church has those similar type situations. And so it's to all churches generally, but it's to each and every one of us personally. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And so if you have at least one ear in here, will you raise your hand up high so I can see that one ear? Okay, this is written to you. This is written to me. How many people in here have two ears? Would you raise your hand high? Hey, this is doubly for you. This is doubly for me. Keep in mind, that church in Smyrna was going through it. Like every single church that ever preaches the gospel for the glory of God, goes through it. But I think the backdrop for them was Caesar Nero came to power by killing so many people. He was bloody. He was brutal. And the first half of his reign was kind of mild. He grew suspicious, selfish, calculating. When he heard about rumors, plots to kill him, and in AD 55, his stepbrother Britannicus was killed by him. In AD 59, he had his mom executed, hopefully not on Mother's Day. AD 62, he had his first wife executed. And then Seneca, his counselor, and the ones that spoke into his life, helping him, were forced to commit suicide. Nero was so brutal and bloody that on the backside of an AD 64, when the fire broke out in Rome, 10 of the 14 wards of Rome were just devastated. It burned for 6 days. It started in the south and then went out, and then it started back up in the for 3 more days on the north side, and by the end of it, 10 of the 14 wards burned to the ground. Most, or at least many, think that Nero had a hand in starting that fire. Because of the hubris of him wanting to rebuild the city, rebuild for his majesty, and that's where the phrase comes, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. We do know this. Historian Tacitus says, Nero blamed the Christians for the fire. The Christians who were already hated and were good scapegoats, and the effect was horrendous. The effect, the onslaught of persecution, yes, at the churches, but also at the Christians. Nero used to crucify Christians. He would take some and sew them in animal skins and release his wild dogs on them to devour them. Nero was the one that lit his gardens at night with Christians, their ankles and their wrists tied, dipped in an oily tar, lit to give illumination to his gardens. Nero was brutal and bloody, and one of his successors, Domitian, was not much better. It was Domitian that boiled John, the writer of Revelation, in oil and exiled John to the Isle of Patmos. Would anybody agree that they were going through it back then? Would anybody agree with that? Notice first the reality of the attack. Look at verse number 10. For none of those things which thou shalt fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You shall suffer. You're going to be cast into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. If you're serving the Lord, there will be attacks. If you're glorifying God, the devil's not going to sit by idly letting it happen. It's not a question of will you have persecutions? Will you have attacks? Will you have tribulations? But how many of them will you have? It's not a matter of will you have times where opposition pushes against you. Hey, if you're moving forward for the Lord, the devil's going to push back. Does anybody agree with that? If you're moving forward for the Lord, the devil is going to push back. That's why Paul said to Timothy, yea, and all they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Shall. You shall suffer. You shall be cast into prison. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's the reality of the attack. It's going to come. The Lord promised it. Church history proves it. Even the name of this church pictures it. Smyrna. Remember the three gifts that were given to Jesus at birth by the wise men? Gold, a gift fit for a king. Frankincense. Incense are mingled with the prayers of the saints. Gold, fit for a king. Frankincense is fit for God, but myrrh. Myrrh was the gift, not fit for a God, fit for a king, but myrrh was the gift fit for a suffering Savior. Myrrh was extracted from a small bush-like tree, and it naturally hardens, and then it's crushed, and then it's ground up, and then it's pressurized, and from that crushing, that grinding, that pressure comes a sweet fragrance, that perfume of myrrh. Basically, the name of the church says, you're not going to go forward as a church without the devil pushing back. You're not going to go forward as a Christian without the devil pushing back. Hey, that's the reality of the attack. If you believe that, say amen. Put down number two. And this is the one that's most important to me, not just the reality of the attack. We could sit here and take testimonies and one after another, after another, after another. It was going well until I started reading my Bible. It was going well until I started serving in the ministry. It was going well until, boy, I saw someone saved. I was witnessing to my coworkers, and all of a sudden, for some reason, boy, things turned on a dime. That's the reality of the attack, but the reassurance in the attack. Look at verse number 8. The reassurance in the attack. Verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead. Which was dead. You feel like they're killing you? They did kill me. You feel like they're beating you to death? They did beat me to death. John, who penned this, could relate. He was boiled in oil, exile in Patmos. Jesus Christ could absolutely relate. The reassurance, three things under that. Note the understanding of the Lord. The understanding, you're going through it, I've been there. You're getting hit hard by it, I've been there. You're being attacked and maligned because of it. Hey, I've been there, I understand what you're going through. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead. Boy, any persecutions you're going through, Jesus would say, I've been there, I understand. Any criticism, darts, fiery arrows that you take, Jesus would say, boy, I've been there, I understand. You feel like someone's betraying you, one of the top 12 of my friends, those that were closest to me, the apostles, Judas turned his back on me. But you feel like people are lying about you and bearing false witness against you. Hey, they so lied about me, Jesus would say, that they couldn't even get their lies to line up in court. Boy, whatever you're going through, I was tempted in all points like as you. All points. Aren't you glad that we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the filling of our infirmities, but we have a high priest that hurts when we hurt. He hurts when we hurt. When we hurt, he holds that in his heart. Boy, the one that wrote this, he could have highlighted anything. He could have highlighted anything, but to this church that was suffering, he highlighted the fact that I was dead. I was dead. You feel like they're killing you. Hey, they were killing me. You feel like you're getting beaten to death. Hey, they did beat me to death. The understanding of the Lord when someone's going through it, they want to talk to someone who's also gone through it. Okay, cancer. A lady that has cancer that's struggling with it, or maybe a mom or dad that lost a son or a daughter because of it. Boy, I'll do the best I can to I can't sympathize. I can't say I've been there. I'll do the best I can to empathize. Boy, I can only imagine. I can only imagine someone that loses a son. I did lose my mom. It's not the same. I can empathize. I can't sympathize. But for that one that lost a loved one to cancer, they want to talk to Char, who lost her 19-year-old sister to ovarian cancer. They want to talk to someone that can say, boy, I've been there, I understand. I've been there, I understand. Aren't you glad Jesus says, I've been there, I understand? Boy, everything you go through, Jesus has already, that's the understanding of the Lord. Look at verse 9. I know thy works. Okay, you feel like they're killing you. I was dead. I was dead. You feel like they're beating you to death. They did beat me to death. Verse 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty. And I know, not just mentally, but experientially. Not just mentally, omnisciently, but experientially. Hey, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. By the way, on the side, just kind of take note that if you want to break that down, I know the works that you do. He says, I know thy works. I know thy works. I know the works that you do. Jesus would say, I know the worries that you have. The works you do, I also know the worries you have. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, the worries you have, but I also know the wars that you're in. Yes, the works you do, but also the worries you have. But how about the wars you're in? Jesus says, I've been there. Look at it, the wars you're in. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. I know the persecution. I know the attacks. When you feel the pain, I hurt in my heart. When you feel the pain, I hurt in my heart. Boy, I know them. You know, no Christian can ever swat the hand of Jesus off their shoulders saying, you don't know what I've been through. No mom or dad, no brother or sister, no Christian that's gone into the deep waters can swat the hand of the Lord off their shoulder and say, hey, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. No, Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. Jesus knows exactly what you've been through. That's the understanding of the Lord. Hey, I was dead too. They beat me to death too. Boy, I know. That's the understanding of the Lord. How about write down number two, the undergirding of the Lord. The undergirding. This is the reassurance in the attacks. The undergirding. Look at verse number 10. How does he undergird? Fear none. First two words of verse number 10. Fear none. How about fear not, for I am with thee. Fear none. Fear not, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How does he undergird us? He's with us. Not only does he understand us, not only can he say, I've been there, and not only will he take our heart in his heart, he's also with us every step of the way. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and I'm with you. I'm with you in that hospital room. I'm with you in that employment line. I'm with you in that empty apartment. Oh, yes, the reality of the attack, we're going to all have them if you're serving the Lord, if you're living for the Lord, if you're moving forward for the Lord. The devil's going to attack and push back. Yea, and all they that will live godly. The church of Smyrna was experiencing that. That's the reality, but the reassurance is his understanding. The reassurance was his undergirding, and the reassurance is the upward calling of the Lord. Look at verse number 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You will suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you, the devil himself attacking some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, that fiery furnace of a trial, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Look at the next phrase. Be thou faithful unto death. Will you say it with me? Be thou faithful unto death. Will you say it with me? Be thou faithful unto death. You say, Pastor, what's that mean? Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep walking with God. Keep serving in the ministry. Keep glorifying the Lord. Keep worshiping God. In the fiercest battle, make sure you don't unplug. Make sure you double down. I'm going to read more Bible today. I'm going to pray more today. I'm going to be more committed and dedicated to what God has called me to do. Oh, let the heathen rage. I'm going to serve God for his glory because he's with me every step of the way. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. You say, Pastor, what's that mean? Okay. Yea, and all they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Live godly anyway. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Reach the world for Christ anyway. If they hated me, they will hate you. Hey, live like Christ anyway. You can't move forward without the devil pushing back. Move forward anyway. Live godly anyway. Serve God anyway. In the fiercest battle, that's when we need to double down on. Wait, tomorrow morning I'm going to pray and walk with God. I'm going to spend time having an open heart with him. Sunday morning I'm going to be in my place teaching that class and serving. When you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm going to be worshiping the Lord wholeheartedly. Boy, that upward calling, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death so that at death we'll hear those words, well done, thou faithful. Thou faithful servant, enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. By the way, I love the cross-reference that Paul, in Acts 20, verse number 23, Paul testified about the bonds and afflictions that were abiding in him. He said, but none of these things move me. What's verse 10 say? Fear none of these things. But none of these things move me. What's verse 10 say? Fear none of these things. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Okay, I get it. If it's all about me, then yeah, then struggle and stress and give up, walk away. Boy, if it's only about how I'm doing and how am I feeling and how's the career going, I get that. But Paul would say, none of these things move me because I count not my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course. I'm now ready to be offered. Boy, that myrrh, that offering, that sweet perfume, I'm now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. How could Paul have that kind of an attitude? Hey, when you really get that, the understanding of the Lord, he feels every pain that you feel. He feels every hurt that you have. He feels every loss, every betrayal, every criticism. Probably for me, it was the hardest thing to get used to. Pastoring is like death by 1,000 paper cuts. And it's just those barbs and that, well, you know, this, and he's not that, and this. And many times from the outside, sometimes from the inside, well-meaning people. But the thing we have to understand, it's not just pastors, it's God's people. It's God's people. When you serve the Lord, someone's going to push back. At work, when you're trying to live right, someone's going to jab and barbs and fiery darts. And when you're dedicated to God, boy, you're going to have some family members that don't understand. How much do you give to the church? Well, I'm not giving to the church. I'm giving to the Lord through the church. Well, how much do you give to that church? I'm not giving to that church. I'm giving to the Lord through that church. There's going to be people that are pushing back. But when you understand the understanding of the Lord, and when you understand the undergirding of the Lord, then be thou faithful unto death, the upward calling of the Lord. Why would I pause? Why would I hesitate? Why would I take a beat? Why would I back away? Why would I walk away? Why would I step back? And so the reality of the attack, does everybody believe me that we're all going to go through it? If we're heading towards the Lord, you don't ever want to have problems, and don't ever do anything, build anything, or achieve anything, okay? But when you do, boy, there's going to be people, there's going to be in the church at Smyrna, the church at Rosedale, the church at Crossroads, Boy, one event happened to them all. Yea, and all they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. That's why, yes, it's to them, but it's also for us. It's for each and every one of us. And the reassurance is, he gets it. He understands it. I've been there. You feel like you're beaten to death. I did get beaten to death. You feel like they're crucifying you? Boy, they did crucify me. The understanding, and then the undergirding. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us every step of the way. And then the upward calling. But look lastly at number three. We have the reality of the attack, and then the reassurance in the attack. The reassurance in the attack. But then number three, the results from the attack. Look at verse 10 again. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried, and ye shall. It's going to happen. Yea, and all they that will of godly shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And it's the same type phrase that Paul used. I'm now ready to be off. Time of departure. I've fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. You see, it's not just talking to the church at Smyrna. It's also talking to the church at Rosedale. It's also talking to Scott Toole. It's not just talking to the church at Smyrna. It's also talking to the church of Crossroads. It's also talking to you personally. Boy, what are the results? What are the results when we live right, do right, we're not moved, we're steadfast, unmovable, we double down, committed to God? 2 Corinthians puts it this way. Now, our rewards are the crown of life. Our rewards are that crown of righteousness that we lay down at the feet of Jesus. But what about the rewards that everyone else will see in me? 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And here it is, and maketh manifest the savor, the perfume, the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Next verse, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Boy, it's a perfume in the nostrils of God. It's an offering. It's that myrrh that's in the sight of God. When God sees us praising in the middle of the pain, when God sees us faithful, even in the fear of death, when God sees us consistent, even during caustic situations, boy, it's a sweet savor to God. By the way, Epaphroditus, he was nigh unto death for the work of the ministry, was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Myrrh, extracted from a tree. Anything I have is extracted from what Jesus Christ did on the tree. And that myrrh hardens, and then with crushing, with grinding, with pressure. Boy, that's what produces that. Under the angel of the church at Myrrh, 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast, the devil, that pressure, will cast some of you into prison, that grinding, that ye may be tried, that crushing, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Keep serving even in sorrow. Keep praising even in pain. Keep worshiping even in weakness, and it'll be like a perfume. It'll change the atmosphere around you. You know, your workplace sees other employees that go through problems and they get bitter and angry. They quit on God. They see that. They see that. But oh, for them to see a Christian that goes through the same doctor's diagnosis, the same prognosis, the same pain, the same problems, but instead of getting bitter and backing away, boy, they double down. They give him praise. They glorify God. And when they see that, it's like that myrrh that, yes, crushed and, yes, ground up, but because when we are faithful unto death, it's a sweet savor. It's a sweet smell that changes the atmosphere around us. It was April 23rd, 155 A.D. Smyrna, the city actually was a beautiful town. It was one of two planned communities in the world of antiquity. Alexander the Great is the one that planned that city, Smyrna. Beautiful, seaside kind of a town, and just a great area. Though it was beautiful, it was also the center of Christian persecution. On April 23rd, 155 A.D., their pastor, Polycarp, was in his office, was in his sanctuary, and on the other side of town, though, there was an Olympiad-type event in their Colosseum there in Smyrna. The crowd, frenzy, tens of thousands of people saying, long live the king, hail Caesar, those tens of thousands of people cheering across, echoing across, pretty soon started to chant, down with the infidels, down with the infidels, kill the Christians, kill the Christians. And it turned into a murmuring of Polycarp, Pastor Polycarp, get him, bring him, burn him, kill him. Keep in mind, Polycarp was 86 years old on this day. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John, who wrote this letter to the church at Smyrna. And so John was the one that spoke into Polycarp. They went to his house, they went to that sanctuary, and they took him, and they coerced him, and they drug him before all of that arena. A Roman centurion on his way there said, Polycarp, just worship Caesar. Say, Caesar is Lord. Just recant. You don't have to mean it. Just say it. You don't have to die, Polycarp. That much-loved pastor in that town. And from his lips came, 86 years have I served him. He's been faithful to me. How can I but be faithful to him? How can I not but be faithful to him? 86 years have I served him. He hath done me no wrong. He's been faithful to me. How can I recant or deny his holy name? God forbid, do what you must. They ordered him to be tied, and he said, no need to tie me. I won't run. They were tying him to the tree, and no need to tie me to a tree. I'm not worthy to be tied to a tree, like my Savior was crucified to a tree. Do what you must. They kindled the wood. They lit that fire, and one of the witnesses to that event said a holy wind blew in and just quenched, put out that fire. And they rekindled it. They relit it. Here, Polycarp the whole time is telling people about Jesus, telling people about the gospel. He's witnessing of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They lit it again, and they got so annoyed at him preaching Christ as he was dying. One of the soldiers took a spear, plunged it in his side, and the blood that spurted out, one said, put out some of the fire by the blood that spurted from him. One of the last words he said was, the fires of hell are quenched by the blood of Christ. I may burn for an hour, but woe to them that are in danger of burning for all of eternity. He bowed his head, and he went to be with his friend, his Savior, his King, the Lord Jesus Christ. That same witness, a couple of them, said, when he died, there was a sweet fragrance, not of burning flesh, not of burning flesh, but there was a distinct sweet fragrance. I propose to you this morning that it was the fragrance of myrrh. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Boy, if we wanted a problem-free life, if we wanted smooth sailing the rest of our life, you signed up at the wrong place, okay? So you joined the wrong team. If you wanted problem-free living, boy, as soon as you trusted Christ as your Savior, gave your life for Christ, serving for the glory of God, ministering, the reality is there's going to be pushback. The reassurance is the Lord Jesus Christ understands. He's been there. He's with you. He's undergirding you. But then that calling is, be thou faithful unto death. And when we are, boy, the results are people realizing Jesus makes a difference. People in our workplace realizing, I don't know what he has, but I need what he has. I've seen others go through the same thing, bitter, hard-hearted and negative. Boy, they're going through the same thing, and they're just still positive, still serving, still praising. Boy, I need what they have. And when we approach life, the way Polycarp approached life, let's see, 80 and 6 years. 50 and 8 years have I served him. 50 and 8 years have I served. You're saying you can't possibly be. Yeah, I am. 50 and 8 years have I served him. He's done me no wrong. He's been faithful to me. How can I not but be faithful unto death? Lord, I do pray. Yes, this memo note, 4 verses, was written to that church specifically. But help us not to miss that it's written to all churches generally. Let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The churches. Help us to have takeaways from this. The churches. But then even more than that, help us to realize it's written to us personally. God, I pray for the one this morning that the hurt is heavy, that the loss is lonely, that they're really just kind of stumbling in this morning, just wanting refreshment. Lord, I pray that they'll see it, they'll get it, that they'll apply it. Lord, the fact that you know what we're going through, amazing. That's why you came for 33 and a half years before you died on the cross for our sins. Well, you could have come down on a weekend, taken care of the cross, and then gone back up to heaven. But you wanted to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When we hurt, you feel it in your heart. When we hurt, you feel it in your heart. God, I do pray that we'll realize your understanding, your undergirding, but Lord, mainly so that we can be faithful unto death. Think it not strange, beloved, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Their heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you say, Pastor, I don't even know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. When I was born the first time, there was a time and a place. Fort Dodge, Iowa, November 25th, 1966. A time and a place. When I was born again, there was a time and a place. Vandenberg Air Force Base in Lompoc, California, the front seat of a little yellow Toyota car, December 27th, 1984, when I was 18 years old, I bowed my head and I opened my heart. You say, Pastor, after the message today, why would I want to trust Christ? Because he's really the only trustworthy one that is. The eternal one, the one that's with you every step of the way. The Lord is our shepherd. He's our comforter. He's our hero. He's the one that carries us, that's with us through that fiery furnace. Well, he's the best friend you'll ever have. And if you say, Pastor, I'd like to make that decision today on February 2nd, 2025, I'd like to be born again. I bowed my head and I simply prayed a prayer. And it's not the words that save you, but it's that heart's belief, believing in Him, placing your faith in Him. I simply said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. You could say that now in the stillness of this moment. I know I'm a sinner, and without you, I can't make it to heaven on my own. Right now, the best I know how, I place all of my faith in what you did on the cross for me. Jesus, thank you for dying in my place, paying for my sins. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save me. Lord, one day, we'll really understand it. We'll really get it, how much you love us, how much you hurt with us, and how present you are to us. Thank you for the example of the church of Myrrh, crushed, ground up. But Lord, a sweet perfume comes from it. Bless your people in a special way today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. What a great message. Can we thank Pastor Toole for preaching this morning? Our personal workers are at the back this morning. If you need to pray with someone, talk with someone before you leave, be honored to do that. And try and be a blessing and a help. This world, we're going to have problems. It's how we handle those problems. And more importantly, who is with us while we handle those problems. And you can do it all on your own, but why? Why would you want to when the Lord wants to undergird us, help us, strengthen, support us? And so great, great thoughts this morning. Don't forget, we have service tonight, 6 o'clock, and then tomorrow night, 6:30. Pastor Toole will be preaching. Those three churches, talking about all three churches, don't miss. We have stuff for kids. Brother John Manuel's here with us, and he's going to be in Safe House this morning. And Brother John is a Christian magician, and he'll be teaching a Bible lesson, Bible truth with kids in the evening service tonight and then in service tomorrow night. And so bring your kids. Make sure that they're here for all the services. And then Miss Blair Sorrells is going to come at this time, and she's going to talk about our baby bottle drive and how we can get involved with Comfort Care. And thank you so much from Miss Blair for overseeing this. As soon as she is done, you will be dismissed to head to your group or to head out. Thank you so much for being here. Miss Blair, tell us about baby bottle.